This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode about survival. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. It's been more than 3 years since the devastating school shooting in Uvalde, Texas. A gunman stormed into Robb Elementary School and fatally shot 19 students and 2 teachers while injuring 17 others. The lives of many families in this small town changed forever, and people have had to find ways to cope with their new normal. Reporter Aitana Vargas spent time in Uvalde to sit down with victims of this attack and to see how their lives have unfolded since then. Aitana, one of the people you spoke with is Amy Franco. She is a former teacher's aide at Robb Elementary School who was traumatized by the shooting in more ways than one.
Yes, Amy Franco survived the shooting, but she was wrongfully blamed for leaving a door propped open by law enforcement, a claim later refuted by video footage. In fact, she closed the door behind her as she ran back into the school to warn children and staff members of the shooter. Mike, and there was a lot of additional damage done to her by being blamed in this way. And one of the things she told me is that it's a struggle mentally, physically, and emotionally to keep going every day.
So Amy didn't return to teaching, right? She has been suffering panic attacks. She has PTSD, but it's been really hard for her to find support and resources.
Yes, there is a lot of red tape. And this is something I heard from multiple families who were victims of this attack. And when it comes to Amy, she's been treated for PTSD, depression, and anxiety, and she walks with a cane due to a foot injury sustained the day of the attack. And she also told me that all of the paperwork has been a battle in itself, and even when claims are approved, it's insane how much it takes to find a doctor who takes workers' compensation. Right now, she's 60 years old and just trying to make ends meet. And she's very much still shaken up by everything that happened. It's all very fresh and very raw for her.
And that seems to be the same sentiment that came out of your conversation with several mothers who lost children on this awful day of the attack. What did you learn from your conversations with those mothers?
So I talked to 3 mothers who connected in the wake of the tragedy, Gloria Cazares, Kimberly Mata Rubio, and Veronica Mata. They bonded over the loss of their children, Jackie, Lexi, and Tess. And together, they lead Lives Robbed, which is a nonprofit organization based in Uvalde supporting families whose children were killed at Robb Elementary. They're committed to honoring their legacies by fighting to reduce gun violence. And I actually think they found some comfort and peace in being with each other and in their advocacy work. But still, Mike, and the loss to them feels warm and fresh. And all of them really go through different phases of doing better and doing worse.
And these mothers also echoed what you heard from Amy Franco, that it's been really hard to find resources, to find financial support for different bills that have piled up for them in the aftermath of this shooting. One of the big helpers in Uvalde has been Michael Marsh. He's a priest at St. Philip's Episcopal Church. What are some of the services he and his church have been providing?
Well, I would say that from the start, Father Marsh has been at the heart of efforts to provide financial assistance and spiritual guidance to impacted families, alongside another church called Sacred Heart Catholic Church and the Volunteer Fire Department. Marsh told me that a lot of the affected families were already struggling financially, and the shooting created additional problems for them. Father Marsh used the money donated from people across the country to help families pay for living expenses, including food, rent, and utility bills. And he's also provided a lot of spiritual guidance in terms of finding some semblance of meaning and hope in the aftermath of this tragedy. Here's what he said.
This generation of children who went through the shooting, they're going to have to grow up, heal as best they can, live as much of life as they can, find a way forward. I mean, the generational impact of trauma is passed on. So it's always going to be with us in some ways. It's going to be the history of this day. And the question is not, Can we cut it off or can we end it? But how do we live meaningful lives with it? And how do we respond to it in a way that makes changes for the better of Uvalde and for the people that live here? It takes time for life to grow larger than the whole that was created by the loss. Right? The whole doesn't get smaller, but life can get larger.
That's Father Michael Marsh, a priest at Uvalde's St. Philip's Episcopal Church. He has since retired from his position. Aitana Vargas' reporting was supported by a grant from the Commonwealth Fund. Her story was co-published and supported by the Economic Hardship Reporting Project and the Carter Center.